Well, God bless you guys. Can you guys hear me okay? Because I'm trying to put my phone down. Is that all right?
Yep.
You can? Okay. Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for the opportunity and time to be able to share this work with you guys. I'm sure that anybody who's taught the word before, it's interesting when you think you have something prepared and then God changes it up on you at the last moment. But it's the same concept. It's like, oh, my goodness. Okay, really? All right. So we do have the victory in Jesus Christ, and that is humongous. Humongous when we really stop and think about it and process through it and meditate on it and let it really sink in our hearts. So I was going to start at a different place, but now I'm just going to quote some of the scriptures from Ephesians 6:10 because if we can just get in our minds and our hearts that this life is a real deal spiritual battle all day long, 24/7, and it's real. It's realer than your five senses. And I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, the world can try to convolute us in our thinking to where it's not in the forefront of our minds. But every situation you walk in is a spiritual situation, and you got to keep your eyes open, and you got to keep your ears open and keep your heart open to God so he can tell you some things that you don't even know in the moment. So I'm just going to quote Ephesians 6:10. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that is the truth of what's going on every single day. So with that in mind, you know, envision yourself as a spiritual being, because that's what you are. And know that we do already have the victory. So, but what I wanted to share was on the victory of, there's several words. There's a word, Jehovah, and that Hebrew word is Yahweh. And the way you say it back in the days, or the way they'd say it, is that you would breathe it out. So it would sound more like Yahweh. So it's exhalation. And so I went through and I went and found, you know, all the different names that God has in the past. And I'm just going to read a few of them, and then I'm going to focus on one of them. So this is the victory that we have already. And it says Jehovah Jireh. And that means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha. That means the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nisi. The Lord our banner, which is victory. And there's several more, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rahi, and there, you know, Shalom is peace. The Lord is our shepherd is Rohi. But the one I really want to focus on is the Jehovah Nisi, our victory, because Jesus Christ paid the price, and it's really cool. So I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 17, if you want to turn there, because that's where we will be. In verse 1. And it says in verse 1, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim." Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore, the people did chide, and that word means contend. So they're already arguing. Don't you know what I just delivered you from, and now you're already arguing? Okay. Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. What a fantastic attitude. Don't you see what I just went, what we just got through? And then you're going to tell me, give you water? How about please? You know? So, give us water to drink. And Moses said unto them, why are you contending with me? Why are you arguing with me? Why are you testing the Lord? Now, like I said, the first thing was the bad attitude of give us. And now they're full of fear after the Lord just brought them through what they've gone through, crossed the waters, fed them with manna, and now they don't have any water, so now they're, you know, frustrated. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out here in Egypt? Are you bringing us out here to kill us, our children and our cattle, with thirst? Yeah, I brought you all the way out here, crossed those waters, fed you with manna just to do that. Fantastic. So, let's see. Now, you can imagine the mindset of Moses at this point in time. Probably in shock, like, what is going on? So, and you can also imagine the mindset of the people, because when you're thirsty, you know, you get a little tunnel vision, you get a little parched, and then you get, you know, frustrated. So, but, and like I said, you get tunnel vision and then complaining. And I can't really tolerate complainers for too long because it starts to affect you. Then you start complaining. So you got to get away from me, right? Verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? So Moses' response was the right response. He didn't look at the problem. Like Jan's book says, you go away from the problem, you go to God, talk to God, and then you come back after you talk to God. Because, I mean, I can imagine Moses looking at these people right now, and they're really frustrated, really thirsty, and they've probably got beaming eyes at him and probably looking at him like he's short, like they want to do something to him, right? Because in verse 4, he says, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what did I do with these people? They be almost ready to stone me. So, yeah, they were pretty upset for some water after they already seen what God already brought them through in the first place. So, Moses' response was appropriate, and he went away from the problem, and he turned to God, and they are, you know, mad over water, but, you know, don't they remember what God has delivered them from already? So sometimes we just got to remind ourselves when we're in the midst of the storm or in the midst of the battle what God has already delivered us from, and then that will give us strength. That will give us encouragement. That will give us hope. So, verse 7 says, oh, wait, sorry, verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go before the people, and with thee take the elders of Israel. So that's like me in a situation, and I'm like, Bob, Jeannie, Barney, Vicky, Jan, we got to go over here because these people are ready to stone me, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do, okay? And take your rod wherewith you smote the river. Take the taken thy hand and go. Behold, I will go before thee in upon the rock, Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of the water, come out water of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called on the name, he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. And those words mean tempted and contention. Because there's obviously contending Moses and obviously testing God. Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, verse 7 still, and because of they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Great doubt. Thanks, guys. Then, and just like, you know, it's just like the devil when he thinks he has you distracted to try to attack. So verse 8 says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said. And hold on. So yeah, like I was saying, it's just like Moses, it's just like the devil to attack you when he thinks he has you distracted. Don't let the distractions distract you in life. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on God. Read the word. Turn away from the problem. And, you know, however, since we are always in warfare, you have to keep your dancing shoes on, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because it's always, always happening, even if you're not looking. So, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Now, I know that Moses was wishing he was doing a lot more shoulders at the gym, because he's holding that thing for a long time. And those shoulders probably got to burning a little bit. Verse 11, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up on his hands, the one on one side and the one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So he's standing there for a very long time. So I'm sure, you know, arms are burning. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial book in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it the name Jehovah Nissi. Now, Joshua must have been a bad boy with that sword, because he just discomfited everybody. I mean, you know, he just did what he had to do, but like a samurai. And so that was the first time and first recording of Jehovah Nisi, and it's God our banner. And so the God is our banner, and we need to remember that. And what is a banner? Banners are raised to celebrate and honor. They hang from the rafters of honoring champions. They announce names and images which people can recognize from a great distance. Banners are visible. As you consider all this, you know, God is our banner because we live to celebrate and honor his faithfulness to us, and that he's shown in a plethora of ways, from rising of the sun to the rising of Jesus Christ. God is our banner, and because we remember all of his deeds and his words graciously to give us that he gives us in his scriptures. God is our banner because he gives us identity. And our identity is in Christ, and that we're seated at the right hand of God. So that's a very comforting thing when we really get our minds around that and really understand the power and authority that we have, and that we start to really walk in that. So God is our banner also because it's our label. We're children of God. And he calls us our sons and daughters. And he tells us he holds us in the palms of his hand and never lets go. And won't ever let go. Because of the saving works of Jesus Christ, God is our banner because we are his representatives in this world. We are the lights in this world. We are his feet. We are his eyes. We are his mouth. And if we don't tell people about him, no one will. And that's why, you know, God is waiting for every man to come unto the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So we have to understand that we have a great privilege and responsibility to walk shining as a light that we are, regardless of how intimidating it may look, regardless of the confrontation it may seem. We have to be able to stand on our own two feet and know that he's standing right there with us. So God is our banner because all of this, and he gives an invitation, and Jesus Christ is not, I like that the lady said the other night, he's a gentleman, so he's not going to force his way on you. And it's a tug of war of any people that would believe, but they don't know yet what it means or how to do it. So he is our banner, and, you know, like when Moses built the altar, he called it, "The Lord is my banner." He was creating a place of remembrance, a celebration of victory, and expression of giving thanks. He is making a declaration, one that any follower of Jesus Christ could share today. The Lord is my banner, and we are the Lord's. And it's a declaration, not just of what God is and what he has done, but of who we are as his people. So remember that as you walk out. And thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And we have to be able to speak those words to ourselves, even when it's a challenge, especially when it's a challenge. Because, you know, as Joshua and Hur and Moses, they all trusted in God. We have to do the same because that's the example that they set in the moment. So I thank you for the opportunity and time. And thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And we have to remember that we're fighting from a position of victory, not trying to get the victory. God bless you.
Amen. You want to close with prayer, Michael, please?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the truth of your word, and that your word is just the greatest book that's ever been written and ever will be written. It's so full of treasures and things that we can fill our hearts with and know that we can come and gain great comfort from you. And in time of need, and not even a time of need, just a time of sitting with you and meditating with you and thinking about your word and just seeing how great and powerful it is, and that we, as we renew our minds to your word, we do prove to ourselves what your good and acceptable and perfect will is. And we just thank you that you considered us way before we could ever even think of you. And thank you that you knew that we'd be here in this moment in time. Thank you that you love each and every one of us. You have a perfect plan for our lives, and I don't know how you do it, but you do it. And we just thank you that you are a great and wonderful God that cares so deeply for each and every one of us, even though, you know, we don't necessarily think that all the time or don't see it all the time because, you know, we're kind of impulsive and we're kind of impatient sometimes. But thank you that you teach us, that you work with us each and every step of the way to be at peace in our hearts and have comfort in our hearts to walk out and know that you are right there with us. You go before us. You go on all sides of us. You go behind us. You hold us tenderly in the palms of your hands. And you will never let us go. And excuse me. And your word is true. And you are true. And you'll never let us go, Father. So thank you for being so tender, so loving, so kind, and teaching us each and every step of the way how to be that way with ourselves and how to be that way with other people, so that we can truly shine as lights in this world. Because that's what you've called us to. That's who we're endeavoring to be. So we just thank you, Father, that you just, your word went in our hearts and like a fire shot up in our bones. So it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. We still have that fire in us because that's what you've placed in us, Father. And that power is mighty and it has plenty of authority. And as we walk out on it, we can see it working. So we thank you, we love you, and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.